Well, I know we're here for gas leasing information, so I'd like to turn it over to Northeast Task Force Gas. We have two people here. We have Mike Dean and Glenn Nesbitt. And I'm going to turn it over to them. Thank you.
Good afternoon, folks. What a blessing to see this many people here. You don't know how good it makes me feel to see such an attendance at an organization like this. It does mean that you folks do care. I am Glenn Nesbitt. I am a co-chairman for the Northeast Fort Worth Mineral Leasing Task Force team. At this time, I'd like to have the other members of the task force just stand in place, if they would, and tell me who you are, starting with you.
I'm Paula Robertson. I live in Arbor Park. Tim S., representing the Sandyford Neighborhood Association.
Mike Dean, Dorothy White.
And the lady back there that's signing me in is my wife. She's Sally. She lives with me. it's such a good feeling to see the people in this room. Everybody has a full agenda in life nowadays. Grins for me if you'd turn to the person on your right and left and introduce yourself and tell them what neighborhood association you belong to. Association. That's a pretty good size. These little blue lines here indicate various neighborhood associations. Cobblestone. Cobblestone is right here. Then you got the Burton Place. Burton Place is right in this area here. Then you got Sandy Brook, whose president's here. Sandy Brook is way over here, just parallel with 820, right down the street here. Emery Place is the new additions back in this area here. Just, it would be going east on John T. White after you cross over 820. It'd be the first and second areas to the left back in there. Mallard Cove. Mallard Cove is up here just north of the Randall Mill. Blake Meadows. Anybody know where Blake Meadows is? Travel. Blake Meadows is right in here.
Good place. You are hard.
Yeah. The R. Hart residential. Seven neighborhoods that joined our group. This is great. I'm going to try to explain at this time why neighborhood support is imperative. Neighborhood support is imperative because the more people you have involved in the gas lease, the more people that will eventually sign a gas lease for more money. Every meeting that you make in this task force will be a benefit to you and the task force. We as a task force committee are just as strong as our members. Without your support and efforts to join hand in hand with each of us, we cannot do our job. We need your everlasting support to make this work. We're not here tonight to sell anything. We're here asking for your support to give you an update as to where we are and what our goals are. We hope and we wish and we intend in the end for everybody to walk away from signing a lease happy. But it takes support to do that. I know there's representatives of various gas companies that have been in the neighborhoods trying to sell individual leases. And believe it or not, some of them are still signing. I know of a case over the weekend that there was a 6-acre tract with $10,000 an acre. You'll look around the room why it's important to wait. You're welcome to look at this after the meeting. I got on the computer and did a random scan of some of the gas leases that have been signed in the Fort Worth metroplex area. I started back in March of this year. Southwest Arlington, they signed one for $22,000. Per acre. April the 25th, 2008, here's one for Southeast Arlington. They signed one for $26,517. This one is closer, May. Burleson Chesapeake Group, $27,200. And there was one that's in the process of closing right now. Lake Worth for $30,000.
Would you like to have some of that?
Yeah. Is everybody aware that Meadowbrook, which there was different homeowners, different associations that belonged to that, and they signed theirs back in April, I think it was. They've been negotiating for several months. That's where we're at now. It, theirs was 25,000 acres, and I got 26% of the role. I mean, it's happening around us, and it's a shame that the people that have signed up already, they didn't know it was going to bring this kind of rain. But to know it now, not wait on us, and our strength is you waiting. The more people that we have stick in with it, they can't do anything with our air. It's too valuable for them to let it go. The attorneys that we, we're in the process of bringing in an attorney that is going to represent us for, he's going to get the money from the gas company. We require that he make a negotiation that they pay for his fee, not us. But it isn't that much for the gas company. Well, I'm speaking out of turn. That's fine. I didn't mean to take his deal away, and I shouldn't, but we need your support. We need you to attend. We need your input. There's lots of questions that we're going to come across. We want to do more than just raise the price up. Quite honestly, I just simply not had any of it. I like my home. I don't want anything to change. But it's here. And we need to take advantage that there's people that think that we have something that's worth something. And instead of settling for the small amount that people did in the past, you know, it's a shame. We can't do anything about them. But by holding out, we can help you. And it means your support. We need some volunteers. We spend lots of time going around the neighborhoods and talking to people. And we can use some help to do that. Now, I'm not talking about a lot. It's just, you know, we're lucky at the time. I don't mean to take his deal away. I'll be back.
Boy, you're doing a good job.
I think we can try to wait until we're the last group to sign.
I'm sorry?
I think we can wait and hold off and be the last group to sign.
No, I'm not saying that we're going to do that. You know, it's... In fact, let me finish explaining that. As quick... We're in the final drafts now of an attorney. We're doing the paperwork. We've secured an attorney, and he should be on board within the next two or three, 4 days. And once he's on board, he's going to go to work very vigorously securing a gas lease from either XTO, Chesapeake, or whoever wants to pay the most money for yours and my minerals. Then he will bring a lease back to us, and we will put it out in front of the task force, and believe you me, we're not going to sign an agreement if it's not safe. And we're not going to take any measly $10,000, or at least I won't. Once the lease is signed, once the lease is secured from the gas company, you as an individual property owner still have the right to not sign the lease. If there's something in there you don't like, you don't think they paid you enough money, or you think they overpaid you too much, then you have to sign it. It's strictly up to you whether you sign the lease or not.
When we sign the lease, is it totally, we have no mineral rights from them?
Your mineral rights, for an example, the gas company, you sign a lease with the gas company. And after the gas company drills a well, and they start extracting gas from under your property. If the well goes defunct in 20 years, your minerals and stuff, and they abandon the well, your minerals and stuff are returned back to you.
When the lease is up, it comes back to you.
Yes, when the lease is up, the minerals and stuff come back to you. They can't hold on to the minerals forever.
Isn't this lease only for gas and not for petroleum or gold or something like that?
That's right. Gas and oil.
Okay.
And but the lease that they've been passing around that everybody's signed for, it's just for everything. If we don't want to give that up. We're just going to do the petroleum. If land man comes to your house and you don't want to talk to him, refer him to one of the task force members. I'll be glad to talk to him. Mike will be glad to talk to him, because in the past there's been a lot of harassment by some of the land people for the gas companies, and we're not going to tolerate that.
Are there any actions planned for tonight that we need to take?
For tonight? The only actions that you can do for me tonight is tell me that we have your commitment to be on board with this gas lease and sign a LOI, letter of intent. Who all signed the letter of intent?
Does everybody understand really what that is? We have to have something in writing on a piece of paper when we go and sit down with the guests to say, this is our people, this stack of papers is who we represent. Without that, they're just, I'm telling them, well, we got my people. We have to have something material to show them that who's behind us. And it's, as he told you, you're not, if something happens, you decide that you don't want to leave, that you don't want to be part of it, you can still do that even though you've signed this. This is we need that document for now until you change your mind. Which you to not go with this, we're gonna do our dead level best. We live here just like y'all do. And we want something that's fair. And Meadowbrook, I'm gonna ask you just a quick question. There's somebody I want to call on, Mr. Bowen. They live in Meadowbrook area, and they were part of, if you don't mind,
sure.
Tell just whatever you'd like to about your organization and what y'all did.
We had five neighborhoods in just on the other side of Interstate 30, Eastern Hills, Central Meadowbrook, West Meadowbrook, Brentwood Oak Hills, and the tap houses. The first thing we did was we took a survey of all of our residents. We actually went out and did a scientific sampling. We had the resources to do that, thank goodness, to find out what people were really interested in, and overwhelmingly, they were interested in safety and security. Those issues that affect us, the noise, the dust, the dirt, the trucks, you know, where are they going to drill? That is the number one issue that we confronted. So given that baseline, we work from there. And I think that's wise that the task force is also interested in that. Where are they going to drill from? And second to that, the issue that we've all seen in the paper every day and the protesters today, where they drill from, how are they going to get the gas to the main pipeline? Where are the pipelines going to be? And how are they going to get it out? Okay. Those things need to be spelled out contractually. And that's exactly what we did. We said no drill sites in our neighborhoods, and there's not going to be, okay, by the people we signed with. Then we went out and we sent packets to 43 different drilling companies. And we basically entered into a competition, and it came down to three that were really interested. And they made their best offers, and we signed with XTO for $25,000 an acre, which at the time was high.
It was the highest at that time.
26.5%, and we also limited, there's another factor, we also limited the expense of transporting the gas into the pipeline, because that can be very expensive on your royalties after the fact. So that's another thing to look at. But those were the key elements.
What about attorney fees?
We were very fortunate in the fact that we had two attorneys in our area work pro bono. No one on our committee. We had each neighborhood association donated, I think, $100 for the mailing and the expenses and the printing expenses and things that we had to go for. We actually gave some of that money back because we didn't use it all. So we were very fortunate in that regard. We had an excellent attorney that helped us out. We actually had two attorneys. Very little expense, and it is time consuming. Let me tell you real quick, you can't be in a rush, because if you rush, you're probably going to make a mistake. You have to take your time, and fortunately for you, there's a lot of precedent that's already been set. A lot of people have already gone through this, so you're not breaking new ground. We know what you have to do in order to achieve a certain result, and they do too. The drilling company, the drillers know exactly what you're going to ask for also.
I think the only way we have any strength is to do what they did, and it's that we stick together. I mean, everybody knows that as a few, you have no idea. But right now, our area, they had like close to 3,000 acres, 3,200 acres.
Yeah. Wow.
We've got over 1,500 in ours. That's significant. They won't let us go by and not make a deal with us. As to how much we can get, you know, it goes up. It's probably good that we're a little behind there because we may get more money than they get. But a bigger deal to me is and that something that's important to them. And one of the attorneys that represented them is John Warner, and that's somebody that we've been consulting with. We want to make it safe. And I like their lease. I agree. I tried to get Dale to, if they would accept the same lease that they had, I was going to settle for less money because they had a good lease. The money wasn't as important to me as not having these pipelines and stuff. I guarantee every lease that's been signed prior to now, if you look at one of your neighbors that's got it, and it says on that they put pipelines across their property. Well, it's too bad that they signed that. But we're going to help them out. We can't help them with money, but we'll help them out. Because if they live next door to you, people around them have said, no pipelines, then there'd be no pipelines. And so they will get some benefit, even though they signed and they got the smaller amount of money. We want to help them out because we want to save the neighborhood. But again, we can only do it with your continued support.
Does anyone in here know what, does everyone know what eminent domain means?
It's not a fair thing.
It's nothing about it is fair.
But how we can supersede that in our deal, in our lease agreement that they signed with us and then what they did, they didn't allow the gas company, and they leased directly with the gas company. You know, we could have done this with Dale, but we wanted to talk directly with the gas company. We feel like we can, they're better represented, so are we. But we in our lease agreement state that they can't transport any of their resources through a pipeline that goes through our neighborhood. We're going to put that in our lease. They'll have to have some pipelines. We're going to have to give some, and that's the reason that we need your input. I mean, they're not interested unless they can drill them, they can do something with it. I don't want all the trucks running past them, but they can run them down the middle of the street or do something to where it's not going to be underneath. You know, this, I don't know if y'all seen the articles recent that the off of Carter Avenue where a lady got this pipeline that she's been fighting in eminent domain. She's about to go to court now. And they'll probably win. And they're going to line up with how many inch wet pipeline? 24-inch wet gas pipeline that's going to be 6 feet from the front porch. And they're taking out trees that were
100-year-old pecan trees.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. That's ridiculous. There's nothing to care about.
And it could happen to anyone in here, including myself. Yes, ma'am.
They are being considered as a public utility company.
They're being considered that way.
So far, they've been able to beat in court, but they can't beat. What they're doing, Chesapeake has a third-party company that I don't know exactly what connection. I've been told different things.
It's a subsidiary of Chesapeake, which is midstream.
Which is doing the leasing or doing the pipeline. That way, they're staying away from the bad guys. They're wanting along with Tommy Lee to have a good name. But it's not as important as it is to us. But we live. You know, very few of those people live.
Yes, sir. You've been holding up to answer a question.
For those of us that may have signed maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the lease is about to expire. On a contract that I may have signed in 2005.
Yes, sir.
We are required to sign again, right? Or does that lease automatically go into another?
I'd like to have to look at your lease, but some of them out here are automatic renewal, but some of them are at the end of your time, at the end of
it. Yeah, there's people in this room right now, and just quick raise the hand. How many people have had a lease that's expired in the past few months, and you're ready to lease again? I know Mr. McGrew, yes, he had one, his expired, and now he's going to get a better deal. He signed up years ago when it wasn't a very good deal.
So did I.
In fact, nobody knew that it was going to be worth this much. Nobody knew that they're going to be running a pipeline.
In fact, I have heard that there's landmen out in the fields and neighborhoods now looking at people who are close to expiring, offering them $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 just to renew.
Yeah, I have a letter on my desk now where they're courting me for renewal. I just thought that I want to make sure that I want to get on board with the association. I own two properties over here, and I want to make sure that the contract does not just automatically renew itself. And then I came in kind of late, but would you repeat what the perimeter is for John T. White's area?
John T. White area for the gas leasing scenario is East Chase, Randall Mill, Trinity, actually the Trinity River, everything Randall Mill, south to 30, East Chase, west to 820.
Yeah, but you don't have to be in the John T. White. We have five total neighborhoods. And if we have somebody else that comes along that's adjoining to us, we talked for a bit with the Bentley Village. They wanted to join it, but they just decided that they were afraid to wait. You know, well, the prices have gone up since then. If they had waited, they'd be making more money off it. If you live in this area that's on the other side of 820, and any of that area over there, we can include you in our area.
Yeah. I mean,
or your property is there.
Yeah.
You are in, did you say?
Yeah, both of my properties are in.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to be in John T. White. And it doesn't really make, to us, we're representing the whole area that's over there. And we just let 820 be the dividing line, and 30, we don't have anybody that would be south of 30, and then we go up to the Trinity River. But if you're in that area and haven't leased, and we can use your assistance.
Yes, we can definitely use your support.
Got it? Yeah, well, you appear to have a question earlier. Okay.
You got an answer?
Yes, sir. Yeah, what companies are involved with leasing this area now?
It's out to anybody. The major players in the area are XTO and Chesapeake that come to mind, but there's numerous areas out here.
Well, Chesapeake turned down Bentley Village. XTO turned down Bentley Village. That's why they went to Chesapeake.
Yeah, right. Yeah, probably it's, whoever wants to make us a bid on it, but Chesapeake has a large number. Where do you see the white that's in here? The yellow represents the land property that hasn't been leased. The white represents that that's been leased. And a little of that is XTO, and some of it's leases that were signed years ago that they were transferred to other companies. Coloma's got some in there, but the majority lease owner is Chesapeake. And Chesapeake will probably be who it means the most to. So it's probably the one that we deal with.
Do you know the circumstance of Bentley Village? It's 15 grand an acre.
I'm sorry? Yeah,
15,000 acres.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What it goes by, quite honestly, is how many, what percentage of people that you have that hold out in the size of your area.
Right, very small.
They have a smaller area over there. Had they stayed with us, they had much bigger areas, it would just increase the size of the virus. And it would have helped their percentages, but people get tired of having to deal with this and think about it. And I understand,
but don't do that. That's the problem. and need competition, not just Chesapeake. STO bailed out of Bentleyville.
Well, yeah, but you know what? 1,500 acres, they're...
Well, they jump through hoops for 1,500 acres.
They're not going to let it go for that. And they're not going to let this money that they make off of it slide. You know, they're going to want it.
These gas companies want every square inch of property out there. Because you'd be surprised how many millions and millions of dollars are down below us. Yes?
That brings me to my question. I'm in Sandy Brook, and I've been told, and I think my neighbors have told, that they don't need us, like Sandy Brook. They'll just drop us off, and, you know, we won't get anything, and sign with everybody else around us, and is that even possible?
That's one of the 4,011 stories that they've told me.
But here's the deal. You know, they claim, and that, you never know for sure, the price going up, the price of gasoline. But off of each acre of land, that they make about $1 million below the profits. And I don't, I've heard that from more than one source, and I don't know what that's used. But without a doubt, for them to be paying the kind of money that they've been paying the individual property owner, it's got to be worth something to them. They still got a well to drill, and we've got a whole lot more expense to go with. The money worth quite a bit. And for them to leave out an area, they buy regulation from the Railroad Commission, and things can change with the Railroad Commission. There's been applications, there's been amendments that's been that they lobby to get, and things can change. But right now, anybody that has a lease, they're required to stay 330 feet off of that property line with their board, okay? Your property line goes straight down towards the center of the earth. And they have to stay 330 feet from it. It is true that sometimes they'll go underneath you. The fine for having to go underneath you and getting caught might be less than what they have to pay on the lease. Problem is, they don't want to do a lot of that. I talked to the person with the Railroad Commission, and if they do that, they get a bad name with the Railroad Commission, and that's not a good thing. If they want to get a waiver, or they have to have something that they want to get through the Railroad Commission, if they have a bad reputation of not doing what was supposed to be done, then they don't want to do that. So it can happen in small cases that they might wind up drilling underneath you, but legally they're not supposed to. They're supposed to stay 330 feet away from the top. So if you get, you can have 70% of people in an area that have leaks, but the way that 30% is still remaining, and ours is the other way. Ours is about I think 30 to 40% of the people are signed. We've got somewhere between 16 and 70% that haven't leased up or got leases that's about to expire. And that gives us enough strength, but if there's enough checkerboarding in that, and they're having to figure out and stay at 300, where can we put a line and stay 330 feet off of each one of these, okay? And that gets to be a problem sometimes. So they were all these ones.
Well, they can set up one rig and drill multiple holes.
Yes, they can set up one drill pad here and drill 360 degrees all the way around that. 1 mile down, 1 mile out that way. 360 degrees.
And you're going to see more and more of that. There are, I think, some limits on how many. It's the initial bore that they have it down where they can go down that same hole, and then they can take off a different direction each time. And the way that they're doing it most of the time now, I don't know anybody to really care, but to get the most success out of extracting the gas from the ground, they're separating those horizontal bores at 6,000 feet under the ground. They're done parallel with each other at about 500 feet apart, and they can overlap their fracking. That way, they don't leave bores down in below. And it's something what they can do on turning those drill bits.
Any question
about
this?
Yeah. I wanted to share with you that I was
stand up. I can't hear you.
Shortly after they told all you guys, they went around door to door in the neighborhood and told you they were going to leave you out completely. You might want to check with Tim, because within just a very few days afterwards, Dale Resources sent out 97 certified letters to property owners. So if they don't want you and they don't need you, why are they sending certified mail?
Yeah.
Well, it's scare tactics, aren't they?
Exactly.
They make you think that you're going to go away with nothing if you don't sign. Well, if we stick together, that won't happen. If we don't stick together and we don't have enough representation, that you don't go out and talk to your neighbor that help us to stay strong and be strong, then yeah, they can have more influence and they can get their way. I'm for not letting them have their way.
Yes. Just for your information, those that are in Sandy Brook, even after the deadline that they gave a lot of people, I've heard from two people they've actually tried to get them to sign after that deadline. So they haven't given up. They're just kind of playing, I think, possum in our area and working other areas, just trying to feed that fear. But as long as you don't give in to the fear, and a lot of marketing is based strictly on fear. If you can avoid the fear, you can avoid the tactics.
I went down to the Dale offices of the and they've got a map up that's got everybody's property on it. Big map. And they have everybody's lease expiration dates on there. So they know to a property when it's coming up. And they're going to concentrate on the ones that are coming up the soonest.
Yeah. Well, they don't want
it. Yeah.
They'd rather talk you into going with them before we do. You know?
But they know.
That's why we need to
It's a huge map, and they've got every one of those dates on it.
Yeah. Part of the expiration on the leases,
if
it's all together and
do a
collective lease, is
ours
going to be renewable, or is this a one-time deal, or how does that work?
I tell you what Meadowbrook did. They did a three-year, 5 years.
Yeah.
I think now looking back on it, we should have just done a 3 year and find out the results. But we want to keep it as short as we can.
Right.
That way, make them get in and do something with it and not drag this stuff out. You know, I don't want anybody to be on that. The shorter the term, if they don't do something, we'll loop it into somebody else. We want to make it to our business. Can we sit down at the table? And we're going to have our wish list, and they're going to come back and they're going to have what they'd rather do. You know, and we're going to work out something between. And this, when we come down to the question, we're going to come back to you guys. That's the reason that we need your email addresses so we can keep you up to date. I mean, we have these meetings, but we want to keep you as informed as we can on what's going on. And I want to represent y'all. I'm not running for office. I'm just wanting to do what I want to do more what everybody thinks is fair. Quite honestly, I would settle for less money than what they're up to now if I just got the right kind of leads. But now that they made me wait, and I've had all this sleepless nights and stuff over some of it. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something, speaking of sleepless nights. Some of y'all asked me about 6 weeks ago. I live on at the end of Cook's Lane near Redmond. I have a well that's across Redmond Hill that is 1,000 feet from my house. I have a well that's back to the east-southeast that's 1,200 feet from my house. I have one that's on the old Blakeman property that's right down in front of Maud E's house that's 1,500 feet from my house. I got a refrigerator. And quite honestly, I never agreed with the 600 feet deal that the city came about with, okay? 1,000 feet, it didn't keep us awake all the time. I mean, at first I thought this was going to be horrible. We won't be able to sleep. Once in a while when they dropped a bunch of that pipe, you know, that might wake me up. But you kind of got used to it in the house. Outside was not pleasant. I'm going back to 1,000 feet. 600 feet, my neighbor across the street was 600 feet, they had to move out for me. One of the things in our lease that we want, we're going to, regardless of what the city says, we want to agree to keep them out further, you know, from happening. That's what we do. And however far we get it, it's going to be better than what they've had. But the well that's 1,000 feet from my house, my wife and I, normally our alarm is not a very loud alarm. It didn't have to be. One morning we had, our alarm didn't wake us up. And what woke us up was the fire alarm system, my house. And
I woke up and it was like I had already did the night before. I said, it's like I stumbled when I hit the floor and fell against the wall. Then my wife got up and she looked at me. She was late getting ready for work because it was like 45 minutes after when she needed to get up. So she got in the shower and she started feeling a little bit better. And I laid back down. I looked for the fire first. I looked where we got a fire. I didn't see any smoke, didn't smell anything, couldn't find anything, couldn't figure out what looked, and the alarm went off. It put hanging it off. So I went back to bed. I didn't do it. Well, my wife got ready and left for work, and shortly after she left for work, my alarm system came on and woke me up. And I looked all around, couldn't find anything. Well, by this time, it's go back for 8 o'clock, and the company that made my alarm system was on the East Coast, and I thought, well, they'll be open. I'd already tried to call and had reached my light. I was, what's wrong with my alarm system? The guy had me read or tell him which light was going right in that moment. And then how many times it flashed and what would it do? How long it called and how many times it flashed it? He said, that's your carbon monoxide. I didn't even know that we had the carbon monoxide. When I built the house, we put in fire and heat, but it turned out that we had that too. What it was from? The well that's 1,000 feet away. They punched one hole, and they were fracking that one. They had a whole bunch of trucks and other diesel engines and stuff down there, and they were all running. It was the exhaust, the heat that drove it up a little ways in the atmosphere, and as it cooled down, it just settled at my house. In my house, I put continuous socket bits all the way around the house, and it sucked it in through it, I guess. But the city came out, Tom, he put a machine up in the house that's supposed to read carbon monoxide. Well, he had trouble making it work, but it started making an alarm, and it said low oxygen. Well, since then, I talked to the company that made my alarm system, and they said, carbon monoxide displaces oxygen and creates low oxygen. We don't want this.
Yeah. We're definitely going to ask for lots of things in this lease. We're going to ask for the safety factors first. That's the most important thing. And then, at the end, we're going to discuss the money. Yes?
How about on the contract, 2 alarms per 1,000?
Not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. That's definitely a good idea.
Or if you're within so many feet or something of it. Or if it costs that much, but that's a good idea.
I've heard
that
room somewhere.
We need, Kathy, write that down. We need other feedback. If somebody else comes across something that we need to have, we need that kind of feedback.
We need all your input. I mean, that's part of it. Yes, sir.
Why did you guys start earlier? It's a little bit late in the game. Why didn't we do this earlier?
Well, if you'd have started earlier, you'd have been getting $200 an acre like those other folks that started.
Well, look, many people have already signed.
I'm sorry?
Many people have already signed.
I realize that. And I venture to say that some of the people in this room will get impatient and sign. You can't hold everybody's feet to the fire.
Yeah, part of my question is, how can you explain this if some of the neighbors in the neighborhood signed and talked about the whole checkerboard and idea? Are local companies able to drill in one neighborhood?
Yeah.
How would that work?
No,
say every other neighborhood.
No, they're not going to. The way they do this, they go straight down 6,000 feet and then they go out. Okay. If they have to stay 330 feet away from a property owner that didn't lease to them, then they have to. And they're not going to snake that around with all these properties. It'd be much easier to pay more money and lease it. You can look on the current street that I talked to the other day. It's Kelly Court. You know where Kelly Court is?
Kelly Court, I just as a resident, is right here, and a little more than half the people have not signed. Okay. If it was even the other way, there's enough holes in the lease area that they can't drill through that shore. They can't stay 330 feet. So the more of those that we have some input. So does everybody understand?
So basically, you're saying they won't start until they get all
what have you have to say at least?
They're not going to tell you that because they're going to try to scare you and make you think that we're just going to be left out.
They do what they call a pool. They pool so many acres before they drill.
Let me tell you something. That's something we hadn't mentioned. In Manbrook, they put a minimum on their each property. The minimum lot, I think, by the city is 5,000 square feet. But if you have the smallest piece of property, you still got a minimum of $5,000. You know, they're up to how much? Anybody had a current proposal from Dale on leasing your property that has a residential lot? How much? No, just on a lot, not an acre. It is a lot based upon what?
That's an acre. You got one here that says 30.
Yeah, for residential lot, just regular size lot. You know what? I mean, the bigger the piece of property, if it's like if they got 25,000 an acre, it had been totally divisible. They wouldn't take a 5,000 square foot lot would be about an eighth of an acre, okay, close to that. And they've been paying more than 1/8 of that total amount, but they got a good figure. The 5,000 is a lot more than what the last, like 6 weeks ago or a month ago, they were just offering like $1,200 for a residential lot. For 2,000, yeah. But we're going to get you more.
Yes, sir.
I have a friend of mine over in Southeast Oil, and she's picking up a ticket, say $1,500 for a $1,500.
$1,500 already.
But let me tell you, with that, as an individual, you know, that was a good for regular lot. $5,800 is pretty good. But you're not negotiating this deal on the rest of on the safety steps. They're not going to pay
they
it
all. That's task
force. Okay. Yes, okay. But as an individual, you may get more than, you know, that price is going up right now. But they're not going to negotiate all that contract just for 1.5 or 2,000 or 3 or 4. It's going to take a group.
Question over here.
How are we going to share attorney fees by the size of the lot?
Let me tell you about the attorney fees. Right now, we will not sign a lease unless the gas companies offer to pay the attorney fee up front. It's not going to cost the association at this time any money for the attorney fee.
Is this the only section of the event?
No. And that's, you know, they had two attorneys that were residents and they're part of their association. They lived there. And so they did it pro bono, differently. But we looked around, you got any attorneys that the neighbor wants to represent us? We hadn't found one.
Any attorneys in here?
We went to their attorney and talked to him because we knew that he did a good job. And that's probably who we're going to go with. We've interviewed five attorneys. From talking to all of them, their fee that they earn on doing that is probably around $10,000. Depends on how long it takes, how much negotiation. But in retrospect, $10,000 from the gas company when they're paying $25,000 for an acre of land is not that much money. And they're glad to have one individual that has to have to deal with rather than all of us. And what we're doing with it is that in this task force, Glenn and I are co-chairs, in any negotiations, we're going to be with the one of us, or probably both of us, but one of us has to be with him when we do the negotiations. That he's not just going in our behalf, we're going to be sitting there to make sure we get the right we want.
We're going to represent each and every one of you next.
The best we can. We've
got a lease up here as best we can. because when we do that, we're representing ourselves, because we live in the neighborhood also. Don, would you explain just for a second about the minimum per lot in the Meadowbrook? And
we had a unique situation in a number of our residents, like 400 of them actually lived in townhouses right on the other side of I-30. And they had a different situation because they had tiny lots. Their actual ownership of property is very small, but they had a larger common area. A lot of their pool, their courts, and their public areas are common areas that are jointly shared by all the owners in that area. So if the contract, I won't get too technical. Basically, because we had a number of very small lots, which you don't have, we had a different situation. We put that minimum in there to protect the people that had just a little bit, which was fair. We basically divided that out. We figured a quarter acre lot, 5,000 minimum, which was the average. Now you can get smaller, but that's pretty much what we were at.
Which is a fair deal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I might add that the attorney that you're talking about, that you're talking with, is wonderful. And I don't say that lightly about attorneys. Wonderful. Yes.
This is a general question for everybody. What issues did any of your homeowners run across that had mortgages in the middle of the line?
The mortgage. There's only one mortgage company. In all the research, we found that actually raised an issue about leasing your minerals or one part of it, and that was Countrywide.
Didn't you ask that they...
What we put in our lease is if there was any expense related to your mortgage, they would be responsible for it, and they agreed with that.
See, right now, those that's leased already, if they didn't have that, it's their responsibility. That check is going to be made payable to their mortgage company and the homeowner.
But in the mortgage
company, we want to put in our lease that's their decision. That's what the gas company calls. If there's a fee that the mortgage company charges in order to subordinate that lease, the mortgage company will subordinate. You know, if they, I haven't seen one that didn't do it. I've seen some that hesitated. I think the biggest hesitation was how much money can we fee them on the deal and still stay out of trouble, you know, in public opinion. I think that was the...
So they're not going to end up with the lion's share or whatever.
No.
The signing bonus is not subject to that. It's just the royalties over a period of time, the royalty checks. If you talk to your neighbors that have gotten royalty checks, unless you have a lot of acreage, you're looking at a few dollars here and a few dollars there. So generally, the mortgage companies don't want to deal with it.
I've seen $500 to $1,000 for the mortgage company wanting to charge to subordinate.
Exactly. You
know, that's why we're gonna make the gas company, leasing company.
One more quick question, Don.
Sure.
Can you tell us the pluses and the minuses of the top lease?
We excluded any surface usage from our lease. That's a whole separate issue.
Yeah.
Period.
What is it?
Period. In other words, they don't have the right to do anything on your property. Any surface use.
And y'all, what did you say on High Park? I forget.
There's nothing. We have a little bit different situation. What we said is we don't want you in our neighborhood, basically. You can come under us, but we don't want you in our neighborhood. So they agreed they're not in the neighborhood. There's no drill sites, no pipelines within the five neighborhood areas. They're all railroad tracks or on the other side.
As I understand it, they have 3 years. A typical contract is they have 3 years to start drilling, right?
Yes.
And then if they don't start drilling within that time frame, they have to get out, right?
Yeah, they don't have to get out.
It's a three-year lease. After 3 years, if they have not drilled a well, then your lease is valid.
Okay, and so once they start drilling, That's when you get your royalties, right?
Once they start drilling and they get the well processed and get gas lines in to market and they start fracking it and start producing, they call it a producing well, then's when the royalties come in.
Right. Now, I know in Woodhaven, the company that originally, the company they originally went with in Woodhaven, that company kind of went out of business and sold it to Chesapeake, I believe, because they could not afford the rigs. And so they sold it to
Chesapeake. But they have to go by that lease. They bought that lease and they can't change that.
Right.
In terms of a lease, that's up to, I mean, that's our job in this thing. Is that, you know, right now I think that we're in unison that I don't want to lease them longer than 3 years. I think y'all did the 5 years.
We again, every situation is a little bit different. Our 5-year lease was predicated on getting the extra royalty at the back end. Instead of 25, we went to 26.5% for the 5 years. Also, the prevailing thought was that they're out of the neighborhood. Candidly, we're getting our money up front. We don't care if they're drilling or not.
Is there a certain percentage of people that need to sign for it to be collected? And is it 75% of us need to sign, or is there a percentage that we need to, that is our goal?
We're going to negotiate a lease for everyone in here that has an open lease and up signed, and it's up to you whether you want to sign the lease once it comes out or not.
I mean, but
she's talking about the
help. For purposes of
it would be helpful to get 75% or 80% participation on signing a lease.
Yeah. Do you know your percentages of what you had?
What I have been told by production companies is that they will not really actively start processing a well without at least a 70 to 75% signed in that area.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir.
We have an area where, okay, let's say this one particular neighbor didn't want to sign the lease period. How do they work around that?
They have to stay 330 feet from that individual property.
They have to stay 330 feet all the way around that person's property. They can't drill under it or over it.
If that goes into your property,
they're not going to go in, they're going to go under it. They're going to go all the way around.
You hear a landman talking about these. I think y'all come across that question, but I've heard that they're supposed to stay 330 feet from you. I've heard of saying that they can go underneath you. They cannot frack underneath you because they're not supposed to take your resources. But that would be awfully expensive to take and have a well that has a horizontal bore down there, and every time you come to the house, it wasn't leased to you. You're not going to frack that portion there. But the best thing is, again, for us to stick together, and we won't let them in until they sign everybody in. Anybody that wants to sign?
Yes, sir. Where does the city stand as far as their properties in participation with these task forces?
Where does the city stand?
Yeah, I mean, there's parks, there's easements, there's roads, there's...
City's leased the biggest part of all of their property. The parks, baseball fields, football fields.
We got like 3 acres that's just on the east side of Sandy Grove that is just three easements. And I didn't know it belongs to the city. The address is on one of the city roads.
The first thing they do when they come in for an shield is, years ago, like 3 years ago, who they hit first with this was the bigger tracts of land. One of the biggest tracts of land is city land. City and state land that happen to be
city, state,
and they get that. We'll never know exactly what they got for their property. I'm sure they didn't know that they were going to start paying, $25,000 for an acre of land at that time. And I bet the city didn't get that much. But it was a big deal. The city had a big cash.
The city is not being forthright in disclosing what leases they
I think they have a confidentiality agreement that they're not supposed to.
It's public record. I mean, they've leased the parks, and it's been part of the thing. Now, one thing that we did in the Meadowbrook area, and John knows about this, and gives serious consideration, you own the easement in the middle of the street. So in addition to your actual acreage, you can get mineral rights payment for up to the center living on the street.
That'll be included as part of the survey, correct?
Yeah.
No, it's not in your survey.
No, your land plus M3. So that's, the city doesn't lease that. So if you don't take it, it's kind of like free to the realtor. So
that'll be
in the pamphlet.
The other issue is in the past. Very few of those counted after the center of the street.
That was really your property,
right.
But as far as what you own and you have control over, you're back inside that. There's an easement that the city has.
Okay.
But how we managed to get out to the center of the street, if that street is ever abandoned, then that property is supposed to come back to the nearby property owner. And so that really wasn't city property. And for a long time, nobody pursued it. But, you know, if you're talking about you've got residential lot and you're on a corner, you know, you're gonna add another 15 feet down each side,
right.
You know, that, which will make your project more.
Everybody go buy a corner lot.
Where are we at this time on having a 75%? I would say, what did you say, unleased land? About 60,
probably to 70%. 60 to 70% that hasn't been leased there. And that's enough to control.
Okay, then my other question.
What we're going to request is that you'll furnish, they have the building standards, the marketing company is, off the deregister. But some of those, when one mortgage company sold their loan to another mortgage company, that's not recorded in the deregister. So each individual will have to furnish who their mortgage is with, because that's who the release match is. And we're going to make them do that. We're going to ask that they do.
They're going to have to do the work.
You may have to, and I haven't done that on mine. And it, because you're the property owner, you know, even though you have all of you still on the property, it may take a written request from you. But if there's any fees or anything to be done, we're going to ask that they pay for that.
Any other questions? Yes. I'm sorry.
It's my understanding that if whoever the company that you lease to starts drilling at any point prior to the fifth year being terminated, that that would automatically renew. How do they send you a notice? Is it a drill or do they what? I can't find out if there's any drilling going on. And I'm going to renew.
Yeah, for the 3 years or the 2 years?
5 years.
The three and the two?
Right.
Yeah.
You're the last of the three or last of the five?
Somebody needs to look at, first it depends on your lease that you sign as to whether that 2 year extension is automatic or whether they have to make another settlement with you. Most of these has been done in the past. They paid you more money at the end of three. Some of them didn't. Some of them, they automatically, it's just like, what was the difference between that and 5 year lease? Because it's 3 years and it automatically got renewed in 2 more years.
But I would,
the company that you talked to then, you're probably not going to be waking up a sleeping dog by asking a question. But, you know, I
don't want to grill, but I'd like to
know
what they have.
Yeah.
Well, what do you
Morrison Drive?
No,
they haven't drilled there.
You'll know everybody. If anybody wants to see where the wells are located, I know we're going to drive around and see them. But Glenn has them on a map, and he has the existing bore from that they've done at each one of these. You know,
these red ones are the major pipelines. And
these green ones are feeder lines.
Where can we get a copy?
Going actually from the well to the major line. The city of Fort Worth will print these for you if you want. Down at the map department. Yes, ma'am.
Now, in our lease, we already had to stipulate it where it's not going to be removable after the 3 year.
That's what we're proposing. Yeah. Right. You know, and we'll come back to you. If they offer us more money, and if we want to go for a longer term, we'll just see what they have to offer, and then we'll look at it. You know, if they decide to go five because they threw them a higher percentage of oil, okay? And we'll see what they have to offer. Our initial deal is we don't want to go longer than 3 years. Okay?
Got a question right here.
I didn't have a question. I basically had a comment as far as he asked, why did we take the loan? Because a lot of us wasn't going to sign it off. And we figured if they're going to be here, we might as well go ahead and get an organization together.
It takes a bit of time to get out and do something. I just retired, and so I started putting some time into it. But before that, when I was working, I didn't have time to mess with it. And a lot of people feel like that, but if we all feel like that, we won't accomplish anything. That's the reason I urge you, honestly. If you give us just a little bit of your time to talk to your neighbors that's around you and help us look into, we still have people that we haven't been able to talk to. That they need to know that we're missing out by not being part of our deal. So we could use some help, and that's what will speed this up. I mean, we've come a long way. We're in the process of this attorney. Which we'll probably know something tomorrow or the next day, Monday.
We actually kind of got the idea from Woodhaven because no one was doing a collective lease at first.
Yeah.
And we kind of got the idea from Woodhaven and from there.
You need to do that. She's right. Yeah.
Everybody was kind of running around out here doing their own little thing, you know.
Well, you didn't know it was worth this much money or that you had to say so. It was one thing.
No.
In other words, if you sign no service lease, it's going to make a
spill. We have a very unusual situation. I'm sure everyone's heard about the Carter Street, lady that is her property is being taken by, I think, mentioned eminent domain. Well, I'm surprised, somebody has to ask the question, well, wait a second, y'all signed with XDL. This is Chesapeake in there doing this drilling. What happened? Well, Chesapeake leased Gateway Park and Candy Hills Park, and they're actually in the neighborhood drilling and doing this pipeline to go out the neighborhood. So it's a very unusual situation. No, eminent domain for a pipeline has absolutely nothing to do with the lease.
Yeah. Would y'all put some verbiage in your lease to control pipeline? Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But only by the company we signed with.
Yeah, but you can do this. You can stay. I had another attorney tell me since then, and I thought maybe y'all had done it, but the company that we decided to go with, say that it is Chesapeake that we wind up going with, that by agreement of our lease that they signed with us, they can't transport their gas in a pipeline, no matter who it belongs to, that goes through parts of the neighborhood that we didn't have control over. That in itself, if Chesapeake's got our area, that whether they own the third-party company that's doing the pipeline or not, that's going to make them pay attention to where they put that pipeline. Do you understand what I'm saying? They can't transport their gas through any pipeline that we didn't have approval of. And whatever we can do, I don't know how much approval we'll be able to get from it, because they have to move that stuff. It's just that we want to do it the most safe manner we can, and where it's the least invasive.
Yes.
Like you said, the gas pipe can explode.
That's a good point. I have been told that, once they run a gas line across your property or close to your house, don't have any first-hand knowledge, but this is what I've been told, that there's a possibility that your insurance of your property will go up because it's a
safety factor?
Yeah. It's insurance you go up, but if they have an accident, they're going to be responsible for accidents. But do you know that the lease has been signed already? And I don't know if you saw this, but the royalty owners were responsible for to pay for expenses if they had a problem. In these leases that a good many people have signed, you need to look at your lease that you signed. That it states in there that they can push off some of their taxes on it. Whenever up here at the library, all of those had that they could do that. And most people, they just didn't read it. They didn't know what was in there. It stated that we're going to have in our lease that we have that we don't have any liability in anything that they do. And some of these other leases, that wasn't indicated.
Yeah, but if something happens, your insurance, your house insurance, say, well, they pay for it. You in the middle, you're gonna be waiting to watch a fight, Joe. You're gonna pay for your house.
Well, they'll have to pay. If they had a big disaster like that, this whole field would be in jeopardy over an area, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to kill their whole deal. You know. I wish it wasn't here in town. It'd be a safer for all of us.
You're going to have to ask for the lawyer.
What do you call liability liability? Y'all put a clause in your declaration. John told me what John offered. We're having a senior moment. Yes.
How successful have y'all been as far as contacting the non-resident property owners, like people who have leased property and stuff like that? I know there's a lot of rent houses.
You know, we have stuff and we need help. I talked to the lady on Kelly Court the other day that she knew that the property had been leased to somebody else, and she was going to give me some information on the owner that had moved away and leased it. You know, we didn't have any idea where they're at. By deed record, we knew who it was. You know, we had Sally did lots of lookup and work for deed records to get people's names and to see, look up and see had they leased it. And you can get that off of the records. But when they moved off somewhere, they had no clue. And so we relax. If you know when you're down, if it's in that situation, or you know of a vacant lot, ask us and fill us in with whatever information that you have on it and help us do a little research on it, because that just adds strength to our deal.
Yeah, that's part of the support that you're asking people. Anybody like that, if you can tell us that the benefit through, please tell us.
What about these foreclosed homes?
Foreclosed homes, either paint or somebody else, probably on those. I mean, we can tell by looking up to the records who they are.
Like if it's a mortgage company, it's like a local bank. As of a year ago, local bank were not retaining the middle rights of these foreclosed properties. They would let it go for their own. Somebody buy it out of foreclosure, then they would get the middle rights. The person that had the house.
I have a comment about non-resident owners. Our website and these yard signs are getting the word out. So we have a few signs left if y'all are
we have
having
more
a strategic
y'all
place to put them. But we are having people from out of town find us and email us, like, you know, the Majestic store there across from CarMax and the one over there on Randall Mill and 820. They are located in Florida. But they have come and sought us out.
Get those signs. We pay $3 a piece for each one of them. How can I afford $3 to sign up? I mean, it's keeping us from having to collect money from them. You know, but it pays for a sign that helps give good advertisement for what we're doing.
$3 advertising. Yes.
That is one thing I am familiar with. The property taxes on your mineral rights. TAD website, Tarrant Precinct District website, there's a wonderful 15-page technical paper. Basically, what it boils down to is that if and when the Tarrant Precinct District figures out how they're going to tax everybody on their minerals, the mechanism is not in place yet. But when they do, the property taxes will be about one half to two thirds a monthly royalty every year. So generally about 8 to 10% of what you get per year will go in property taxes. That's a generalization. Now, one thing that is very important to know about property taxes is that property taxes are based on the value of what's down there. And it's more valuable at the beginning than it is at the end. So you'll pay more taxes at the beginning than you will at the end of the lease. But then again, your royalties would be higher at the beginning than at the end. So.
Can you explain the royalty process?
I'm sorry?
Can you explain the royalty process? Because I know it takes 90 to 120 days once they get a productive well going for them to start. So is it a monthly thing or every 3 months?
Generally, every company's a little bit different. Most companies will not pay until it reaches a certain level, $25, $50, $75, or $100. Generally, in the increments where they will actually cut checks when it passes that threshold. And most royalties are paid quarterly, from what I've seen.
Yes.
What about once they drill and they've got all of this money coming to the gas companies, what will we be taxed on federal?
You're saying, number one, you'll be taxed on your bonus you get up front.
Okay. That's a separate issue. Taxed on the bonus, or you're going to be taxed on the total amount? That
you'll be assessed taxes on your royalty.
Yes. It's income, so whatever level of income tax you pay.
But just what we get, not what is...
No, not what the whole group gets, okay. just what your portion of it.
Right.
I'm sorry?
Whatever your income tax is, 25, 26, 27, 28%, whatever percent you pay in income tax, which is based on your income, that's what you'll pay.
So, do they report that on a 1099 or something?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the gas companies will report that.
Right.
It'll be shown as income. And
right.
You'll fill it out just like you do when you fill out your income tax.
If you have a lot of acreage and you get a great big check, be sure and save some of that for your taxes, because the tax man is going to get it.
Yes,
I don't want to cut this off. If we get one, we have to be out here in a little bit. But take a few more questions, but I wanted to introduce, I just noticed who came in, was Councilman Scar, that represents our area.
All right.
Danny Scar, yes.
Danny, would you explain for the group there, if you would, the pressures that the city councils are getting from lots of these issues, such as the Barnett Jail?
Well, it is definitely a balancing act because, I think any city would be foolish to not, make some way for their citizens to make literally hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's what the city will see in terms of bonus payments and royalties and things like that. So right now there's probably somewhere in there with between 40 and 50% of the city by land mass has already signed leases, and a great many more are already getting rented to. So there's a great deal of momentum in it. People just like you and like me would like to be able to have somebody pay them for the minerals under the ground. At the same time, we've got all kinds of issues like truck traffic and noise and pollution and pipelines.
Street damage.
Yeah, street damage. All those things that we have to balance against that. And then there also is the issue that the city itself will get money from leasing gas. Their gas will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion. So while you put that in perspective, it's not a whole lot of money, to the city that has a $1 billion budget. But it's still $1 billion. In today's math, that's not bad. So There is a lot of pressure. I think there's been some, you know, some misconception that the city has more control over certain things like pipelines and right-of-ways than we do. We have a meeting today where we have an attorney, a pipeline engineer, and some other people from the Texas Railroad Commission and some of the members in the federal government that governs pipelines. And really, that's where the authority lies, in the federal government and the Texas Railroad Commission, in terms of, you know, that all the state, the city literally is not allowed to govern safety on pipelines. It's just not something that we have the authority to do. We have a little bit of purview when they want to cross a street or use city right of way, but we just like you, are actually subject to, in some cases, to eminent domain and condemnation from a public utility, just like a regular citizen. So we really have to balance those issues. I think, you know, we've had now the third iteration of gas drilling task force that's looking, you know, for, like I said, the third time at this, at the ordinance, trying to make some tweaks. The last one was passed in 2006. And so we're trying to make, you know, take into account all that we learned, and we're just like you, we've learned every month a little bit more about, you know, what it is, the pressures that are on neighborhoods and on the city, what we can, what we can't do, what they can do, can't do. But, you know, overall, in most cases, there are some select instances that, that get a lot of press where there's some issues. But overall, if you look at all the wells that are drilled, all the leases that are signed, it's gone pretty smooth. And we just have to keep dealing with those select issues and try to get as good as we can. And honestly, the thing that you're doing, when I first talked to Dee and I think Sally and others about your group putting something together, there's really three things that I tell neighborhoods when they get ready to talk about this gas leasing issue. One of them is to get as many people together as you can. The second one is to be patient. There's no hurry. And the third one is to hire a lawyer. And so if you'll do those three things in some expanded version, you're going to get a pretty good deal. And we've seen them all over the city, you know, getting better and better and better as the competition is, you know, as the, like I said, almost 40 or 50% of land is already leased. The rest of the people don't want to see the rest of it get away, so they're going to continue to ratchet up those prices. And you guys have that balance in your team. You really have the control by the way that you write your lease. You can, where the city can't interfere, they're trying to make a deal with you, and you're going to make a contract between your, each of you as individuals and that gas company. So you can tell them where you want them to drill if you want to. You can tell them about pipelines if you want to. All of those things are under your control within your lease in a contract that frankly we can't do. So, you know, now is the time, if you've got the land mass that you can offer them, to use that leverage and get what you can. And it's just like buying a car. You make the best deal you can. And remember, they do it every day. You'll do it once in a lifetime.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. It's just back to what we said. It's a support group that counts. We need everybody in here. Yes, sir.
Well, there's one thing that has been discussed. See, the Barnett now is an old issue. There are these resource plays all over the United States. There's competition for these dollars. And, of course, I'm a geologist, and I follow these basins. Now, the landman with Dale is now up in the Williston Basin. The young man with Dale had talked to me months ago, a year ago. He's long gone. They're competing. These other basins have better returns, like the Haynesville in East Texas, Louisiana, the Williston, which is primarily oil. There's competition. Who knows what they'll do with this Barnett? The Barnett is an old toy now compared to these new basins. Remember that. There's this thing is being spread around the whole country. How it'll all end up, I don't know. There's been a bust in this gas business. In the year 1999, Chesapeake stock sold as low as 63 cents. They were busted. They were nearly bankrupt in the year 1999. Tommy Lee says it won't go bust. The Barnett will not go bust. Don't bet on it.
That's what they all say, what Tommy Lee
just said. Oh, that's just foolishness, that Tommy Lee nonsense.
Yes, ma'am.
We know that there's going to be roads torn up from the weight of the trucks and everything. Why can't we have a road fund set up for the area? A certain percentage of what they pull out has to go into a road fund.
Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Danny, doesn't the city handle that portion of it?
Yeah,
the gas companies?
Yeah, they all have to have a bond so that and take pictures and video, and if there's damage that's evident that came from them turning off on the street or onto or break the culvert or something, then they have to come back and fix that. But we're looking at some ways to to more directly extract some dollars from the trucking in the
They're causing so much damage, that needs to be their problem.
But remember, when we do that, we can't treat them differently than we do FedEx or someone else who has trucks. So if you treat one that way, you got to be able to collect money from all the users in the city. It becomes a little bit more complex.
If you can't, that, you're going to pay for it.
Well, but in any given neighborhood, of course, they've got trucks going in and out to get this stuff on our granted, you've got FedEx, you've got UPS trucks all over the highways, and I'm sure that they have a tax to the government at some point, I'm sure.
I don't care what kind of truck it is, McDonald's truck, whatever, right. They all pay state and city taxes.
Right. But
and portions of that goes to the highway.
And but again, though, with your specific areas, like these wells over on Randall Hill.
Yeah.
You know.
Random Mills is torn up street anyway.
Exactly. But all the extra money for Randall Mills, the tax dollars are already paid for Randall Mills. You want to pay for the lights? I'm talking about from the company, from whoever, the parent of the street, they need tax.
I can tell you something. You know, there's specified truck routes that UPS and FedEx and so on, they can go in on streets. They're doing really good. They have a reason to do that. The oil industry trucks have no reason to be like Cook's Lane is not a through street truck. It's not supposed to, unless it's like a young hunter or something, that's having to make a delivery, they're not supposed to be, yet they come down and all that. I've taken five pictures now that I just had. I get tired of seeing them go down my street. You can hear them when they hit their air brakes in on their truck when they're coming down the hill. I took pictures of them, and I've gotten five of them tickets now just from my picture. I had a picture of them where you could recognize that where they are on Cook's Lane, and Tom Edwards gave them a ticket. So y'all can do the same thing. If you write down the information time that you saw, he asked me to get a picture. But I had one day, I didn't have my camera, gave me information on it, and he had me going by, and he chased or went down where I said, I think the truck went to. He went down and wrote him a ticket down there. We need to do that. The only thing that stops them from doing that, they think we can get by with it, the likelihood of being caught.
We got to wrap up here real quick. We'll take a couple more questions, and then we'll have to go there before the library closes out over here. Any other questions?
I don't have a question. I just wanted to thank you for
coming. It is a pleasure.
No, not always.
you wouldn't
this year is a worthwhile call.
You would not want to really hear what
you're saying.
Well, hi there.
Hi.
Made it.
I made it.
That's nice.
Just here, I'm alive. I'm doing this off the
back. Thank you for coming.
Did everyone have the letter of intent form? We need your support.